So,
hey, have you guys met our new addition to our incredible ledge team?
Not yet. We haven't introduced her. Do you want to introduce her, Commissioner?
I would love to introduce her. Guys, as you know, we've been talking about the fact that we've expanded our programs and we've expanded our funding by 81% in the last 4 years. So Zach Blair was about to retire and leave us. And in talking with the governor's office, I think this is really important. In talking with the governor's office and the analysis that we did, we are woefully understaffed in our policy and ledge area. And I was grateful because we had an impromptu meeting with Kristen, who I've known a long time. She used to work with Jim Henry at DCS. She's worked with Zach as well at DCS. She is amazing. She comes to our team. You know, as you guys know, our motto for this year for the department is beyond compare. Kristen is beyond compare. And so, Kristen, we're so grateful that you're going to be with us, so grateful that you could join today. Anything that you want to say to these wonderful individuals that are with us?
I just want to say thank you so much, Commissioner, and I'm honored to get to work with you and the rest of the team. I'm excited to be here, and I just want to say I'm just very thankful and very blessed, and I look forward to meeting each and every one of you individually and getting to know you on a personal level. And please know, if you need anything, you don't have to call Zach. You can call me now.
It's usually a relief to everybody that knows me that they don't have to talk to me. They could actually talk to Kristen. So we're really excited to have her. And Commissioner, thanks for introducing her to the group.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, before I begin the comments, it is wonderful to see those of you that are on video, Nicole and Debbie and Ben Harrington. I see you, sir. Ross, very good to see you. Those that are on the phone, I think I've got Elliot, and I see Ricky Harris, Amy H. Do we have everyone, guys, that's part of this committee on right now?
Avis, do you want to, you or Kirby want to do roll call?
Yeah, I can go ahead and do that, Demi.
Okay.
Just a reminder to everyone, also that per the Open Meetings Act, this meeting is being held virtually, and it will be recorded and posted to the department website within the next 2 days. We just felt, due to the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic, it was just safer for everyone to continue to meet virtually. With that being said, also just a reminder to mute if you're not speaking, just prevent any feedback, and to state your name before making any comments or questions, because it's helpful when capturing the minutes. So I'm going to go ahead and go through the attendance. Kirby Fye with the department, Amy Holland with the department, Avis Easley with the department, Ben Harrington, Debbie Hillen, Elliot Pinsley, Jan Cagle, Kristen Beloff with the department, Kurt Hipple with the department, Commissioner Marie Williams with the department, Nicole Bates, Ricky Harris, Willie Ross, Samantha Slagle, Zach Blair with the department, and we have a few callers. I know I heard Albert Richardson on the call. Dina Savinas is also on the call. Kim Parker is on the call. And I know I missed one person with a 618 area code. Can you please state your name? You might be muted.
I'm sorry. Were you talking with me, Kirby?
No. The individual who called in with a 618 area code. Can you please state your name?
I'm sorry about that. Yeah, this is Caleb Schwentz.
Pardon? Can you say that again?
Yeah, Caleb Schwentz.
Welcome, Caleb.
Thank you.
All right, Debbie.
So, Debbie, are you okay? Yes, ma'am. I know you're chairing this most wonderful group. Are you okay if I make some introductory comments?
You know what, Commissioner? I would not stand in your way.
Thank you. Thank you. I now see Elliot. Good to see you, Elliot.
Good to see you as well. And sorry, I was on a speaking engagement with international folks and I had to leave early as soon as I could. So sorry about that.
Good. No problem. No problem. So a couple things I want to say to you guys. As you know, every year we take a look at the requests that you put in. And Debbie, y'all worked very hard and the requests were well written. When you guys send them in, my team puts together an analysis and sort of sends me that. And I read each of the things that you've written up. So I want you to know what you say to us does not go unnoticed or unread. And to that end, there was one part of what you've requested that I wanted to take a moment to talk through with you and make sure that you understand why we're going to go this path. I also, Debbie, want to hear if I'm missing anything, okay? So if somehow I've missed something on this, because it may lead me to reconsider. So that's why I wanted to talk to y'all. So one of your proposals was to actually create and ask for the Behavioral Health Workforce Preparedness Act. And in that, it talks about establishing a work group that would be relative to this issue that would be part and parcel of the Planning and Policy Council. And I want y'all to know that this is something that our department has taken on with TennCare. To me, that's even better than putting this just in our Planning and Policy Council because we're not the only piece of what funds and oversees our mental health and substance use system. So when I looked at that, I thought, this doesn't make sense to do right now. We've already started this. And if we had to defend this with the legislature, they would be like, excuse me, you're going to give us a report and then you're asking us to change legislation to do what you've done. So that's how I'm looking at it. And my team has looked at it. But I want y'all to know and make sure everybody on this committee is very aware we're already doing this. And not only are we doing it, TennCare is doing it with us. And that is huge. In the event we do all this work, we put together a report that has some really actionable outcomes, and we don't get where we need to go, y'all got my word that we'll revisit this with this group. Debbie, we'll come back to y'all. I would appreciate it if you are remaining as chair, you know, that you let my team know so that we can respond. But that was the one that I really wanted to speak to. Obviously, the team could speak to all the others, but this one was really important to me personally. So I'd like to, Debbie, turn it back over to you with any comments you've got or any comments any of the members have.
Thank you, Commissioner. And we actually had some follow-up discussions before the last part was sent to you. And I know at least for me, it was at the same time we were reviewing the proposal that had been submitted, I think it was Region 2 and Region 4, and then when they combined it, it was all at that same time that it became real aware that you within the department and TennCare were also working, had already moved forward with that piece. And I remember there was some discussions from some, and I don't remember who it was, that said, well, since this has already been done at the commissioner level, is this something we want to go forward with? And my response at that point was, it was a proposal. It had been voted on. And at that point, it was my job to refer it on to you.
Yes.
Make your decision on what you wanted to do there.
Yes, absolutely.
And I think, and you already do this, Commissioner, but I'll just state it with the committee here on the line, is that if we can just make sure that we get updates kind of through our respective organizations, that would be wonderful so we know what is going on.
Absolutely. Debbie, as you know, TennCare and our department chose to have the statewide organizations that represent the majority of the mental health and substance use, consumer, family, peer organizations to be a part of this. And so Mary Linden and Ellen Wilbur are both on this, as well as the chair, vice chair of the Planning and Policy Council. And we will be doing updates. This is going to be a quick turnaround because we like to have something able to go into the budget this year, if possible. Okay. Ben's shaking his head. Ben's been a part of this a long time. I mean, it's all quick. You know, we just ended our last year budget request and approval. And then typically the last of August, first of September, we're having to send in the next year's budget request. So it's our hope to get this done fast. We've got really great representatives across the state as part of this. And we will update you guys as we move forward. Thank you for asking about that.
Yes. Thank you, ma'am. All right. My understand. Are you going to be with us for a little while?
No, actually, this was what I wanted to speak to.
Okay.
I've got other meetings I've got to be a part of. And, of course, my great team will follow through. But before I get off, any other comments, conversation from any of the members about what I just said? Debbie, I'd like to hear from the group if there are any comments people want to make.
Floor is open.
Well, Debbie, I'll weigh in just a little bit, if I might. As the co-author of the combined Region 2 and Region 4 proposal with Elliot, Commissioner, I think one of the key points we were trying to make was that some states embarked on this process and involve their legislature in a major way so that the legislature would, by completing the process, own the process and the recommendations. And so that's something that I believe in. At some point, you know, even with your process, which is a great process, working with TennCare and then putting it the recommendations into budgetary format for the governor's consideration and enactment, that's all good. But, you know, we may have to come back and involve the legislature or work hard to educate them as to why, you know, this process is so valuable and needed, and what work you all have done is important. But so that was the point of my side of the proposal was, in some states, legislators have owned it because they've done the deep dive to study it.
Yeah. Ben, totally take your point well. And I think I was remiss in not saying to you that the legislature and our key contacts and people that support us are aware of this issue.
Yeah.
Very aware of this issue. As you know, Senator Massey serves on the Planning and Policy Council. She's been a huge, huge support. And we don't believe that we're going to get any pushback from the legislature. As you know, last year, they actually brought our department and TennCare forward to talk through this issue. Although there was no action taken based on that, I believe that what we're doing, Ben, with them already knowing this is an issue, we'll be able to have a really good voice. And we always appreciate our partners like y'all letting your local legislators know, hey, this is something that's happening. But the other thing that I think is important, Ben, is they're not only seeing it in the behavioral health field, they're seeing it in every industry that there is in this state. People can't hire hospitality workers. Nicole, you're shaking your head. People can't hire McDonald's workers. People can't hire RNs in the regular hospital world. I mean, it is rampant. We've got the lowest unemployment rate. So I really feel like we will have their support and didn't have to go at it the way that maybe other states did to garner support.
Well, if I would, I would make the suggestion that when you're ready with recommendations out of that committee, that you work real hard with the legislators that are appointed to the State Planning Council to engage them to own those recommendations.
That's our plan.
Yeah. The reason I say it is because at the end of the legislative session this year, when the rate increase came up as a behind the budget, you know, proposal, some of the sentiment from legislators was, well, mental health has already gotten too much. We don't need to give them anything else. And so they didn't understand the difference between new dollars coming to the department's budget versus new dollars going into rate increases within 10 care. And they're absolutely apples to oranges. They're not the same pool of money. And somehow legislators lost sight of that at that critical moment in discussing that budget item.
Yeah, Ben, I'd be interested to know which legislators you're talking about that made that statement.
I know Joe Hensley was one in particular that was on the record when that was first announced, who was a little bit perplexed. So that's the only reason I'll call that person out directly, because he made some comments after it was mentioned in the governor's amended budget proposal. And there were lots of others that I can't share just because of violating personal connections, and I don't want to call people out in a recorded meeting. But there was a lot of folks who felt that there was this huge amount of funding and kind of misunderstood how it works, what it was supposed to do, and that it wasn't this big, you know, huge immediate investment, and it was going to be over time. And so I you really look at 2 pages of appropriations amendments related to behavioral health, and nothing that wasn't in the governor's amended budget was approved by the legislature.
What I'd say about Hensley, we actually talked to him after our hearing to attempt to explain that. As you guys know, it's important that we all try to sing off the same song sheet to get things accomplished, and anything you can do to help us in educating legislators is always helpful. I hear what you're saying. But yeah, with Hensley, I actually talked to him personally after there was that misunderstanding about the $250 million that was coming and being established. And people thought, I mean, they still think, and we've sent out all kinds of communication, that it's not, we don't have $250 million to give away. It's going in a trust, and it's going to be the percentage off that trust. Anything that y'all can do to help educate, that would be great. And we will continue with 10 Care as partners with them and with the governor's office to, you know, present what we think is appropriate. I think it wasn't just, again, that they didn't understand what was going on. You got to remember, if 10 Care didn't think it needed to be asked for, then it wasn't in the amended budget, right? So hopefully this joint meeting and suggestion with them will lead to some demonstrable impacts that we all agree on. And if we agree and the governor's office agrees, then we have such a great standing with legislators to potentially get it in our actual request. And as you guys recall, it was not in either request. So hopefully we'll get it that way. Anybody else got a comment or want to give feedback? I appreciate what you said, Ben and Elliot.
Go ahead. Sorry. And I wanted to let Ben speak first, Commissioner. And I just want to say that we certainly we appreciate very much the efforts that you all are undertaking to engage 10 Care and partners in this process. And we certainly see tremendous value in what you're doing. And we know that you are really having everyone's best interests at heart in doing this. We certainly understand that. I want to say something else about what piggybacking off of what Ben said, a concern that I know some share, including myself, is just, you know, that there's no assurance that we're going to have a regular look at this. The Department of Health looks at a lot of metrics. They're also not engaged in this group. I think that would be an important department to engage, considering that they oversee the boards of health that where these professionals are, you know, housed. And I know that's challenging. But they have these epidemiologists and folks that are looking at a lot of data and doing a lot of good work, you know, complementing work that your team is doing in different ways. And they're looking at the workforce, but they're just missing this piece. So I think it's not just we're not pointing at one department. We just want to get folks collaboratively to talk about this and make sure we know that this is something we have to address, not once, not twice. I mean, this has got to be a regular look, just like we're looking at everything else on the health workforce. So I think that's one of the main reasons for requesting something that would have some assurances that it's going to go on beyond a single year.
The other thing that I'd say to y'all about that, which is actually higher than my level, that speaks to what you said, Elliot, the governor has pulled together all commissioners that are dealing with any health issue. And one of the main things, and of course, Dr. Piercy and I are on that, and she's aware, you know, when she and I talked and Stephen talked, we decided that this group should really focus on behavioral health, mental health, substance use. But we actually are working on an overall statewide, all health, all industry strategy about this very issue. And we're looking at a 15-year plan. So I can tell you right now, it's going to be multi-year. I probably should have made sure y'all knew that at the beginning. I just wanted to focus on this particular work group. But again, in looking at it, I just don't feel comfortable asking for something that doesn't appear to be needed at this moment. As I said, I'll come back next year, revisit this if you guys want to put it forward again next year. But I feel really good about who's on first about this issue. And really, if y'all could just help us educate legislators really around the fact that the money that's come to our department really doesn't impact what people get paid through other contracts, that would be really helpful to us.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, appreciate that very much.
Thank you. Any other comments, feedback?
That's great.
No. Thank you, ma'am.
Absolutely. Thank you. I'll see y'all. Bye-bye.
I think at this time I'm going to turn it over to Zach.
Thank you, Debbie. And another thing, kind of building on Commissioner's point, from a budgetary perspective last year, there was a little bit of a strange situation where we had this overwhelming amount of non-recurring funding and recurring funding and initiatives related to those that would be an annual expenditure, unfortunately weren't approved at a higher level than some of the non-recurring requests. So I'm hoping this year, I think our budget situation continues to improve in a significant way that we may see some more recurring expenses that are proposed be included and work in the budget process. But that was a big consideration last year. So hopefully everyone will keep that in mind when we're discussing that part. And hopefully we can be hopeful that the budget situation continues to improve and we'll see more funding availability specifically for recurring expenditures that make a big impact. So I just wanted to touch base on that a little bit too. So what I'll do is I will go through each of the proposals that we submitted to the commissioner and let you know the outcome and have any discussion that you like, and we'll kind of touch base on next steps. So the first one that was sent for consideration as a legislative proposal was the Behavioral Health Services Accessibility and Modernization Act. This was something related to our telehealth provisions and specifically related to us as a payer source, the department as a payer source, and authorization for reimbursement using telehealth services. This is something that commissioners are aware of now. When we looked at it, it looks like this will likely be a contracting issue that we can look at grant contracts that go out. It seems very clear that the legislature has authorized this activity for behavioral health services when there's reimbursement by either 10 care or private insurance. But it seems like there may be some concern that the contracting with the department may need to be modified a little bit. So commissioners aware of that. That's definitely something that we want to have further discussions on. It does not appear that a legislative proposal is needed to address this issue, but that's something that we are certainly glad that was raised as an issue that we can look at potentially addressing that through the contracting or procurement process and the grant process moving forward. So any questions on that specific piece?
No, that's good to know that the department will be looking at that as part of the contracting process. So that's good information. Thank you.
Absolutely. I wanted to touch too on this was one that that the committee asked to refer to Commissioner Williams for a policy consideration. It was not referred as legislation, but the Needs Assessment Enhancement Act, that's definitely something that that our department can have further discussions on with the council and with the regional councils, with Kurt Avis, Amy, and Kirby and that team regarding the inclusion of those. So please know that was also discussed. I know that was something that this committee wanted to take a look at, and that kind of fits into the same posture that it's something that definitely can be addressed without the need for legislation. So please know that's on the radar as well, and conversations regarding that have already begun, and we appreciate that as a consideration for the councils and the needs assessment moving forward. We have already talked about the Preparedness Study Commission and the work group efforts. Those were dealt with by Commissioner at the beginning of the meeting in that combined proposal. So unless there are any other questions, we can move forward beyond that as well. I'm going to skip over one and go to the last one on my list and then come back to the other one. The department name change, that's something that Commissioner is definitely open to continuing having conversations about. That's not something that we necessarily feel comfortable with moving forward with right now, but that is definitely something that continues to be a consideration in moving forward. That's something that I think we would all probably encourage that to continue to be submitted so we can deal with evolving issues around that. I think some of the considerations that that we definitely took a look at, the verbiage of mental health and behavioral health and substance use, substance abuse, so on and so forth. And even as recently as an article a couple weeks ago in some of the periodicals that we get, the target continues to seem to move on what's the best term, what's the best combined term, what is it that we do when the public sees our name. So those are all things that we still want to be mindful of, and hopefully there will be some coalescing around some terms in the industry that both remove stigma, but also will make it clear what organizations in this realm do to the public. And as you know, we've had a lot of confusion in the last several years because this department specifically has changed names on several occasions. I think, you know, as recently as when I was working at DCS, this was the Department of Mental Health and Mental Retardation. Then it was the Department of Mental Health and Developmental Disabilities. Then it was the Department of Mental Health, and it was the Department of Mental Health and Substance Abuse Services. And unfortunately, we see in the work that I do, specifically with our external partners at the legislature, constituents, people that have been around state government for 10 or 20 years still have a very difficult time distinguishing between the populations that we serve, especially on the, you know, DIDD side and the mental health side and other things. So the main purpose for not moving forward immediately is to continue to make it clear what the department does, how the department works, what we do, who we serve. But with the amount of confusion and the moving target in terminology, we want to make sure that the timing is absolutely right to make sure that folks are clear and have an exact understanding of the work of the department and the at-large group of providers, service recipients, and that those in the world outside of what we do have a clear understanding of what the department does and who we serve. Any questions on that?
No, thank you.
And I will save the best for last because we have good news on the final proposal. We had, I believe it was Region 4 submitted legislation related to overdose prevention and specifically the legalization of fentanyl testing strips and testing materials for substances as a harm prevention mechanism. So we are referring that. We have submitted that as a legislative proposal to the governor's office. This is the first one since I've been at the department that has gotten further consideration at that point. And so we're really excited to partner with you guys to continue working on that. I will tell you, I think we've gotten some fairly good news that not all law enforcement believes that the statute makes this illegal now. We're hoping that we might get to a point where the net result of this will be the same without a bill having to go through the legislature. But I know it's something that a lot of folks are interested in. It is going to take.